This episode of the Inner Hole Uprising is sponsored by Tight-Lipped.
Now we drop the motherfucking intro. These niggas are crumping to the intro over here, but I want to welcome you to the Inner Hole Uprising. The podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one Black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who is from New York City and therefore doesn't crump. I don't know. Y'all should have been popular.
Where we came from.
Yeah, and my pronouns are she and her.
And me, Rodeca, a fat, Black, non-monogamous, existentialist whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here. And my pronouns are she and her.
Akua. Pronouns she and her, who today is a celibate demisexual who once thought she could get COVID through her coochie.
We're glad that you're on the other side now.
This is an honest space. Yes.
And me, Rob, aka Joe Robinette Weldon, aka Brian Thumper, aka Rob the God, one feminist, pansexual, Black, agender firefighter with a fatty, pronouns they, them, and fire daddy.
Every episode of the Inner Hole Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews from insightful folks or do deep dives into episode topics of our choice. On this episode, we're talking about tart and stank asses, tart and stank transphobes, embarking on an adventure into abstinence, paternalistic gynecologist, and much, much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast, you could do so at the hashtag Inner Hole Uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag pod in so other people can see it.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hole Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Hole Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can also join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hole Uprising Community. That is C-U-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y. You can head over to innerholeuprising.com to pay a hoe.
Okay, let us go to our first segment of the day.
Grandma, yeah. Are you a hoe?
Oh, I love this show so much. This segment is called Ho of the Week. It is where we shout out the homies who have supported Inner Hole Uprising in the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind their nicknames. And they win love and support and affection. So this week we have Ariana W, aka Walter, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Taylor P, aka Barker, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Kitty R, who I never gave a nickname, but I like Kitty, so let's stick with Kitty, who paid a hoe. We got Montre, who upped their pledge on Patreon. We got Summer, aka that's kind of OD, who became a patron. Sorry, who paid a hoe. We got Sydney G, aka Australia in Sydney, and you have to say it exactly like how Nicki Minaj says that in I'm the Best. So Australia in Sydney, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Ever Bearing Lasagna. Why did I just write nickname? Oops.
Because it is already a nickname. It's a placeholder. Nickname.
I'm so sorry, Ever Bearing Lasagna. I think we're gonna call you Gay Bunny though, because they became a patron on Patreon and showed us their gay bunny, and me and Rodeca were talking about gay bunnies a couple episodes ago, so that was very important. Thank you, Gay Bunny. Shay, you just got open parentheses brackets. I really thought I gave everybody a nickname. I done fucked up.
It's a nickname.
So, Shay, your nickname is open parentheses brackets, or the gesture that Rob is making on YouTube. You are beyond a nickname. You are beyond what verbal language can give us, Shay. So thank you very much for becoming patient.
You transcended
language. Yes, thank you. Then we got Michelle O, aka Big Mish, who became a patron on Patreon. And then we got iTunes reviewers at Ball Loved, which is so funny. It's like Beloved, but balls. And then we also got Tasha and Hermione Danger, which is also a great pun. They all left reviews on Apple Podcasts, and Hermione Danger called us these eloquent nakers. Isn't that nice?
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Love the nakers.
Love the nakers.
Los Angeles nakers.
Happy NAKER History Month also, in addition to that. We also want to shout out the homies who have supported our homie Rob in the past week. If you listened to our last episode, you know that Rob had a very tough week last week and the week before and the week before, because this also stretches back like far before anyone ever knew what was going on.
Land before time.
Prehistoric transphobia up in here, up in here. Very tough week last week after a gender non-affirming interview on the podcast Horrible Decisions, along with some straight up transphobic remarks their listeners left on their platforms. So to everyone who reached out in support of Rob with other trans and non-binary affirming comments, we want to shout you out. Thank you very much. So this actually leads us to our next segment where Rob is going to discuss their thoughts all about this very transphobic week that they've unfortunately experienced. But that's after the break, because Rodecca's got to share something with us.
I do. I have to share about this new podcast called Tight-Lipped. Tight-Lipped is a storytelling podcast creating a public conversation about private pain. They feature honest personal stories from people living with persistent vaginal and pelvic pain. So many of us have pain with sex, pain with gyno, pelvic exams, UTI symptoms that won't go away, or feeling like your vulva is on fire. It's so common that it impacts 1 in 4 people with vaginas. Yet many struggle to get a diagnosis, treatment, or even to be taken seriously. These conditions impact our mental health, identities, intimate relationships, and day-to-day activities. At Tight-Lipped, they believe that their work has the power to shift the narrative around sex, pain, ability, and chronic illness. They ask, if so many of us have vaginal and pelvic pain, why aren't we talking about it? How do so many people harbor the belief that their pain is normal or not deserving of treatment and care? Tight-Lipped is not only a podcast, but also an advocacy organization by and for people with chronic vulvovaginal and pelvic pain conditions. They are fighting for a world where those with those conditions are diagnosed correctly, treated effectively, and given compassionate care. You can check them out on any podcasting platform or on their website, tightlippedpod.com, to listen to their podcast and get involved in their advocacy community organizing work. That's Tight-Lipped, T-I-G-H-T, Lipped, L-I-P-P-E-D, pod.com.
I'm ready to listen.
I'm ready.
I fuck with it. I fuck with it. Speaking of helping the community, that's not a good transition, but I was supposed to have a drop for this because this is a very special segment, but I couldn't think of anything to encapsulate what the drop would be.
There's a song called Dreams Money Can Buy, and it opens with Drake, and it goes, "Don't fuck with me, don't fuck with me."
Oh, that's how it opens. I remember that song.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we cannot use copywritten content on this. There's the drop for this segment. And this segment is called Don't Fuck With Me, Don't Fuck With Me. And it's a one-time only segment, we hope, where Rob discusses their interview on Horrible Decisions and the reactions from their listeners. And once again, if you're unfamiliar with that, I give a little bit more context in the last episode of the Inner Ho Uprising, which is called So What's the Big Deal About Pronouns Anyways, Guys? What's up with that? And you have to say it in that voice if you...
In case you didn't know how it actually sounds.
What's the deal, yo-yo? So what's the deal, right. Yo-yo, Rob? What's the deal, yo-yo?
Ooh, okay. Let me just give a whole content warning for this entire section. I was a guest on a podcast called Horrible Decisions. It's a sex-positive podcast hosted by 2 queer Black women. I was there to talk about love addiction, as well as other things, but the conversation still, I guess, me as existing as this queer non-binary person, and apparently I'm the first one in that space. The conversation couldn't deter away from my gender. And just throughout the episode, I was misgendered, and I just really wasn't heard. Even though the episode was recorded and could be re-listened to several times, I still was not heard. But after decompressing and calling Sam after I left the interview to get it all out, I was okay. So when the episode dropped, I was, you know, still pretty excited. Because, you know, I wasn't all bad, and it still is cool to be able to talk about something that seems so unfamiliar to that world of podcasting. So to open niggas up. And, you know, I had a lot of faith that people would learn, that people who were like me didn't have the language for it would learn the language, that people who were like me and never felt affirmed listening through the podcast could feel affirmed. However, I was met with a different reaction. So on Instagram, the comments were in support of me trying to educate the host what went wrong during the interview, ways they could improve the interview, their own personal feelings about the interview. But on YouTube, transphobic, to say the least, it definitely put me in a pretty bad space. And it took a lot of me trying to validate myself, like it's okay to be saddened by these comments, but also trying to not let the comments completely take control of my mood. One of the biggest themes that hurt the most, right? For me, my transness doesn't read on my body. I can definitely easily pass. For me, it's safe to do so because I am in a field where I have to interact socially with these niggas who I also have to do very difficult things with. So now I'm in the military and I'm a firefighter. So all of my spaces are white male dominated. 99% male, the fire department, and 83% white. And then there's me, my black ass. I'm like 0.00000001%. And I don't want to right now, I do want to at some point, but right now it is not necessary for me to put myself out there in that way and then potentially lose that support. Especially going through COVID and developing PTSD and all these things, that peer support is legitimately probably what keeps me alive sometimes. So when I read the comments about me not being out in my space of work and expecting people that I just met to be respectful of my pronouns and the fact that it was contradictory, that really, it put me in a sad place because I didn't think that it was ever fair to be judged in such a way. And then to hear that from one of the hosts retweeting and putting those comments, it wasn't fair, especially as I was literally just a fucking guest. I did not really put myself out there to be on the show. We were asked. I didn't dominate any talk space. I was very chill. And even when I was angry, I reeled myself back during the interview process because I wanted to be respectful, because at the end of the day, there's still two Black women. And I wanted to be very respectful in that sense. And even then, I was still seen as an aggressor. And then the icing on the cake was there was an apology. There was an apology on the horrible decisions on the Horrible Decisions Patreon from Weezy. Let's be specific. It was from Weezy. It was long and it said a lot of things and I felt a lot of feelings, but not all negative. I'm not going to say that it was the most horrible thing I've ever read. Definitely not. There were some things that were comforting, some things that were not comforting.
Was it the most horrible thing you've ever read? I'm sorry. I had to make that.
You're so silly. You know, it wasn't the most horrible thing, but you know, it made me feel better in a way that there were the things that bothered me the most about the interaction. Well, most of the things that bothered me the most about the interaction were addressed. Other things weren't, but you know, it's a conversation that needs to be had regardless. But the thing that pushed me over the edge and caused me to be like, I need to just take a break from existing on social media for a while was the fact that even their fans were like, why the fuck you apologize? This bitch don't need no apology. The fuck, you didn't do nothing wrong. And it was the, how are you as a regular non a part of this host nigga? Like you're just a listener. Not just a listener, because listeners are huge and we need you niggas, but you're not one of the hosts. And even in them apologizing or in her apologizing for doing something to me, you can fix your little fucking fingers to say, you do not need to apologize. You did nothing wrong. When somebody's saying, I did something wrong, I need to apologize. Like, who are you comforting at that point? If this was a live recording, like if we were all in a studio and there were listeners, like after we left, niggas would have threw a fucking drink at me. That's what it felt like. Like niggas would have been throwing tomatoes on the stage for me, merely existing, merely defending myself. And I don't even think niggas realize how hard it is, especially for somebody who's like, you know, femme passing. Like I don't consider myself femme, but I guess like, you know, I got titties, got ass, maybe bear and shit. And to correct niggas with my pronouns, how hard it is. Because I can see how it can be difficult to look at me and say they, because you don't see a they, right? You see a she. So me telling you, no, it's they, and me expecting you should just go, oh, okay, and then continue with your existence, but instead to just be met with so much resistance. You would have thought I was trying to pull niggas like individual hair follicles out from their fucking head, like how tedious it was to just kind of get that point across. And then back, oh, well, you know, you're wearing pink. And we niggas just had a whole conversation about this. We had a whole conversation about this. And you, us talking about being indoctrinated and then you saying, oh, but, and it's like, do you listen to anything? Does anything come out? Does like, do you just speak? And I really need like cis women to know, like you niggas perpetuate transphobia like a motherfucker sometimes. And it feels like when people say protect Black trans people, that sometimes it's just very selective. Like you just protect who you want to protect. You protect the people who are in your sphere, or the people who do things for you, or the people who look the way you think that trans women should look, which is like cis women. Like you don't protect trans people as a whole, especially because it's not as palatable. It's not delectable to be a true ally to non-binary people. Transphobia towards non-binary people, it looks different. Like niggas don't outright say I want to kill you, but they just don't want you around. Like we allow you in the space, but we don't really want you to try to change us. I don't really want to call you they them. Let's go. You're still gonna call you she her and whatever the fuck your parents named you. So that was my experience. And
thank you for sharing that with us, Rob.
You're welcome.
We always appreciate your transparency and your vulnerability.
You were talking about like being seen as an aggressor. And I thought, you know, how does colorism play into this? Because here you were, a darker skinned person,
girl,
with two lighter skinned folks who also, you know, saw you as aggressive. And then their listeners viewing this with their own colorist biases are seeing you as an aggressor when you are a person trying to create a safe space for yourself and defend yourself. But here, automatically, you are the aggressor.
I didn't see that before until I started, because the aggressive comments and me being angry comments came later. And I mentioned that to Sam, like, I'm not even going to hold you up. Like, this happens all the time because I'm dark skinned, especially when it's, I mean, I wasn't, but it seemed as if I was pitted against two very, not like light skinned, but very light skinned women. Like almost.
These people are biracial. We have to note that. That is an important part. That's
biracial,
an important, like, thing to contextualize.
Can pass as white if they tried. And it was, so when that scene was put into it, it was like, okay, cool. So I felt like I had all of the cards against me. I'm Black, dark skinned, I'm not soft spoken, and then I'm queer and I'm trans. And I'm like, okay, cool. So it was kind of like, I was, the only way that could have been successful if from the jump there was support. from the moment that I stepped on there was, this is who this nigga is. We're going to give them the utmost respect, and here's space, and here's space, and here's space. And anytime they fuck up, they reel themselves back. If they ask me, what do you need? What kind of support do you need? If niggas hit me up after the fuck, or even right after recording, like, this shit must have been hard for you. Let me know if you need anything. Like, any kind of support being offered at any point, because I was set up to fail for merely existing as I was.
Yeah. I also want to note, it's like, as the person who does the front, middle, and back end of the show and is like a professional podcast producer, it's also a matter of how you release that content out into the world. So I think there are teachable moments in, oh, we have misgendered, we fucked up, this is the correction. But leaving multiple fuck ups in there is triggering to the person who was the guest who has to listen back to it, but then also all of your trans listeners. So it's also a matter of like repackaging your content for the world and what you're trying to convey when you release this to the world.
And you don't have to let it go out into the world the same way that it came in. Like a baby. You put clothes on a fucking baby, don't you? Put clothes on this fucking podcast. Even the title, because the title, I said they, the title came off as aggressive. So even if you never listened to the whole or to any part of it, but you knew that I was a trans person whose pronouns were they, them, you would think that I was yelling. I said they, nigga, you fucking up.
You never said that.
Never, ever said that. Never said that. Hey, it's they. Those are the two words that I use to correct.
You said it's they, and honestly, you said, like, you can, if you're an empathetic person and actually is in tune with someone who's speaking and not just trying to place your, like, transphobic bigotedness on them, you, like, you kind of struggled to say it. Like, you were like, it's they. Like, you silently said it. Like, I could feel, like, your discomfort in wanting to say it. It was it was the opposite of aggression. It was the complete 180 of aggression.
Because I didn't want to cut niggas off, like not let niggas get their point across. So I'm like, I'm gonna let you speak, but like it's they. Like, OD considerate. And it's like, it was wild. No, because niggas were not considerate of me at any fucking point in time. I could barely get a fucking thought across at the time, let alone explain who I was. The only time I had space to talk was at the very end. When I guess niggas realized what time it was, but no. And even that, just the fucking title pissed me off. Cause I'm like, I never said that. I never said anything like that. I was more than nice the whole episode, and to release an episode in that context.
Even the episode description, things started out a little bit tense. Like, if we really want to add context to the situation, it's like, we started off a little bit transphobic. We started off a little bit ignorant. We started off misgendering someone we invited into our space.
No, it was, we started off with Rob being mad. And then we ended with Rob being mad. That was what that came off as. So even it was like, the episode started off tense. I'm like, it didn't. Just word of advice to y'all niggas, because the podcast game is obviously not washed down. There's space for everybody. But if you do get into this shit, like, talk to other people. Talk to the people you want to interview. Like, actually talk to them prior to interviewing them. Speak with them. Speak with them directly. I was never spoken to directly. Speak with them directly. Try to gauge the niggas you're gonna talk to. And then when you're done talking to them on the show, talk to them again. Talk to them afterwards. Make sure you give them space to, if they do have something to say and they didn't feel comfortable saying it as soon as they're done recording, you give them space to do it right then and there.
Thank you very much, Rob. And we hope everyone listening gets a little more context from that and does a little bit better in the work that they're producing out into the world. Let us go into our next segment of the day. That segment is called Fuck Is This? Let's play the drop.
Baby, come through. You deserve rounds tonight.
And you do deserve rounds, whomever you are. You do deserve rounds. Okay, so Fuck Is This is a moment to discuss, rant, or laugh at the nonsense in the realm of sex, love, and dating. And this week we have a lovely tweet from a Twitter user that reads, "If you a big booty nigga, get the fuck around me, because I know how my booty get when it's hot out. So I know y'all shit be tart and stank."
It just, like, you have to sit with it for a couple seconds afterwards.
It hits in waves.
Yeah.
You go. And especially because it's not that hot.
What?
In America. We're not at peak heat. Like in the country.
This tweet was, I want to give more context. This tweet wasn't from like this month, but it was from December, which
so that might even be more. Worse. Yeah, no. No.
It's pretty cold now. I mean, even in California, they're talking about how it's a little cold over there.
That
so
means
let's
that
not,
this nigga's ass is tart and stink 12 months out of the year, you gas man. It's your booty always stink.
I want to interject because my one point is I think this is a femme identifying person because I looked on like their other social medias and they're like auntie and priestess and, you know, referring to themselves in these things. So that gave me a different context for all of this. I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Because we accept, we don't accept, but we have said several times that we just know niggas don't be wiping their asses. So,
and we mean niggas in the gendered sense in this context.
Yeah, in the gendered sense in this time. So it's just like, I think that is important to note because I don't assume that femme presenting people identify with tart and stank booty asses.
That's a weird thing to identify.
I expect... I know. I mean, this person.
Yeah. So like
a whole category.
Are they saying, oh, you said pronouns, she and her. Is she saying that her booty is tart and stank? Is that is the logical conclusion that we're getting to?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
She is saying if you have a big booty, I too have one and I know my shit is tart and stank. So
there's
is yours.
Only room for one big booty around here.
It's like why, like, what is it? Like incest is a bad thing. Like it's too much of the same. It's like we can't have too much tart and stank booties in one household because then the kids are going to be like, girl, what the fuck is this bullshit? Y'all was fucking... Y'all better clean up. Y'all better wash up.
Well, I know y'all be like me, and no one knows that they be like
you out here projecting, and we're like, nah. We don't.
My second question is, do smaller booties have less of a propensity to smell?
So who has the smallest? Who has the smallest booty here? Is it me?
First of all,
we all got different shapes and different butts. But in mass, we all holding out.
Yeah, we all do gotta. We all don't hold a little weight.
I was gonna say there's no small butts here. I'm not gonna put that on us.
When my butt was small, was it tart and stink? And then compared to the size that it's now, is it more tart and stink? And you know, the only time that it's tart and stink is when it's supposed to be.
What are you talking about, Rob? After you take a shit?
As soon as you're done taking a shit,
okay.
Free white post poop. That's when it's the thing is, after working out, yeah, the moment the shit leaves your butt and then it's residue. Yes, it's tart and it stink. But even when I'm working out, because I clean my ass, and granted, sometimes niggas do be stinking because they be humans, but it don't be tart.
Yeah.
It's the both of them. You know, it's the connection of the tart and this. The tartness is from bad hygiene.
Doesn't tart imply a taste though? And so now like we must delve deeper. How does she know her booty like is tart and stank? Is she just...
Oh, niggas gonna taste
like that. Hold up. This nigga about to eat my ass. Let me just do the quick taste. Okay. A bit too tart.
That's a little tart.
A bit tart.
Now niggas like tart.
I'm dead.
I mean, Gucci's a tart.
I think that's where it should end.
Tart instinct to me insinuates time. So like we've letting it fester and letting it
ferment.
See, look, it's the lines.
You're letting it ferment.
It's the access. If you have the tart line and then you have the stink line and they don't have to connect, but then when you let them connect.
Oh, tart and stink.
That's a matter of purposeness.
That's time and commitment.
Tart, it just happens. Stink happens, but tart and stink
should never occur. That should never occur.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Well,
at least not on social media.
First of all, these niggas be just driving the segment because you didn't have to let anybody know that today. I don't claim tart or stank asses, but with this piece of logic, that is why I don't eat cishet male ass because I do believe that it's actually tart and stank. So
I too.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I too.
I mean, ass.
Is it tart and stank?
Before they even come to my house, I say, did you wash your asshole?
No, you would have...
And depending on the defense that happens, I will decide whether or not that is a thing that I'm going to do.
The time between them leaving their home and arriving to my home is too much time. You have to wash your ass at my house.
Nigga farts once and it's just all gone. Exactly.
No, I cannot put my mouth to the ass of a cis man. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. It's too risky. For time and just my
sanity, just
comfort, my nausea levels, we are going to move on. Is the conversation in this episode so far resonating with you? Is it helping you learn some new shit, helping you unlearn some old shit, teaching you that you should be washing your ass on a daily basis, or just allowing you to have a good ass time?
Yeah.
Niggas say it is, though. Oh, niggas really say it is, though. Well, we'd love to hear that. We would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, take a moment to pull your phone out or your laptop or your desktop or whatever. Subscribe to us or drop 5 stars and leave a rating for the homies. If you got a little extra change, you can drop us some cash in the PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or come join our Patreon community and access our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month by going to patreon.com/innerho. Uprising, or just hit up your friend and say, yo, listen to this podcast. We thank you very much for your continued support. Also, we all here love karaoke. Many of our hoes and patrons love karaoke as well. So if you love to sing or watch people spectate as they sang, you can join us this coming Saturday, February 13th at 7 p.m. for Valentine's Vocals and Vibes. It is a virtual karaoke party for patrons only. If you are a patron, you'll get an email with a link to join or see the post on our Patreon page. And if you're not a Patreon, or a patron rather, and you would like to become one to join us, you can head over to patreon.com/innerhouseuprising, and the link to all of that is in the show notes. Now we are going to go to our segment we call Fuck You. And the drop is Akua's favorite song, which cracks me up and excites me every time. But this one is about Akua specifically. So it's just all very... Akua getting down to this neo soul. Is this neo soul? I think it is. What a vibe.
My armpits are starting to stink right now.
Tart as well as stank. Well, we have a question that is not tart as well as stank, but this is our segment. It's called Fuck You. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Please include your pronouns. Also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail. Yeah, we'll play it and respond to it on the show, so you can please drop us a line at 404-491-9158. 404-491-9158. Disclaimer that the advice given in this segment is general advice and in no way meant to replace or serve as the advice of a medical or mental health professional. All right, what is going on here, Rodeca?
So the subject we have is a coup attempt, aptly named, from Blue Moon Baddie. They chose a name, remain anonymous, so we're going to refer to them as Blue Moon Baddie. Pronouns are she, her, hers. Hey, Sam, Rob, I want to say Rodeca. But Rodeca, it's spelled differently, but I like that, actually. And Akua. Yeah, I think I like Rodeca. I'm a queer Black femme from New York. Hey! At the beginning of the pandemic, I had a fuck buddy who was more of a fuck boy than I thought. I sent him back to the streets in April 2020. Back to the streets. A few months later, I realized that this might be the longest I will have to go without sex or dating, and I felt good about that. The pandemic and working from home has me wary of leaving my house for anything other than food. I decided I will attempt an Akua. I will attempt an Akua with ku in the middle. Meaning I will try to go 1 year without sex, intercourse, oral, or any sexual activity other than masturbation. Inspired by Akua's journey, which she shared on the show. I have done dick detoxes, but the longest I've gone without sex or even dating is 2 to 3 months. And I've never explicitly included women, queers, and non-binary people. They didn't say that, but we're adding that as well as a question.
Yeah, I think that queers is meant to say non-binary people. In this instance, in my opinion.
Yes. So, okay, we're insinuating that. So, yeah. Into the detox. In the words of the great poet, LOL, Partisan Fontaine, I'm weak. Partisan Fontaine, which is a rapper. All this good pussy and can't find no one to give it to. All this good pussy, can't find no one to give it. That's a great song. AKA, these niggas ain't worth it, and Corona hasn't reached out her final form. I'm not opposed to online dating, and I get overwhelmed with expectations on both sides. Also, I really value face-to-face. To be clear, I am sex positive and enjoy casual sex. This is not a Steve Harvey act like a lady by withholding sex type of moment, but I think of this time as clearing my head and my pussy by breaking away from some bad habits and setting new standards. My questions are, what are some ways I can express my sexuality with or without a partner? What does dating look like in the end of times? How do I draw boundaries and set new standards when I do decide to resume dating in the physical? What are your favorite dating apps for real conversations? I'm sorry. Or have had success on apps not necessarily meant for dating. Love you all so much. You're doing the Lord's work. Saving hoes from patriarchal oppression. Sincerely, Blue Moon Baddie. I laughed at the dating apps for real conversation because I don't know if that answer exists, to be honest with you.
No.
I was just like, come on now. I don't know.
I think it exists. Yeah.
just my comments. We have talked about this, dating in the end of times, virtual datings, and a couple of other episodes. So I would definitely recommend you go back. And we, especially during the pandemic, we're just talking about what we're going to do. How are we going to do this? You know what I mean? what's going on?
I'll link some of those in the show notes.
Some ways you can express your sexuality. I would definitely like take photos or, you know, get out there and just really own your space, whatever, if you're on social media or wherever you do things like hobbies or you have friends, just like kind of judging it up and making it your own. It doesn't have to be with a partner. Definitely exploring yourself sexually, because you did talk about masturbation. We did talk about masturbation as well. It's important and it will make you feel sexier when you're doing it on your own. Yeah. And I think Sam says a lot of good stuff and I'm going to piggyback off that. So I'm going to let you go.
Get off my back. Okay, now you can stay on my back. Thank you for writing in, Blue Moon Baddie. I think you're very funny, and I just wanted to say that Akua line is funny as hell. Thank you very much for that. And the Partisan Fontaine, just great stuff. So what are some ways I can express my sexuality with or without a partner? Definitely, like what Rodecca said, nude photo shoots to share with yourself or others. luxurious sensual evenings, like we're talking bath, candles, mood lighting, toys. And you could do that and masturbate with yourself or over FaceTime with a partner if that's something that you're open to. Sensual audio messages to play back for yourself or others. So all this stuff is something that you could do and re-engage with in yourself or share with many people, one person, whatever. Writing scenarios or erotica to share with yourself, partners, or people on like things like Wattpad or Literotica, which are like websites where people just write in stuff for free and other people read it. How do I draw boundaries and set new standards when I decide to resume dating in the physical? I would say think of all the things that bring you resentment or discomfort while dating, and those are probably the things that you want to create boundaries around. In terms of how to enforce them, you should set intentional time to talk with whoever you're dating and let them know straight up. What's my favorite dating app for real conversations, or have you had success on apps not necessarily meant for dating? I personally really, really like Hinge. It's done good things in my life. And then in terms of non-dating apps, I think a lot of people come my way through Instagram, but that's probably just like the social media that I use the most in general. If you're finding that any dating app is not working out for you, my tip, which seems like a very obvious tip, but it's just to make your account reflective of the dope and exciting life that you're living and that you want people to take part in. So I think one thing that really helped shift the types of responses I got on my personal dating apps is, instead of like defining what you don't like and being like, no bigoted niggas and all this kind of stuff, like, unfortunately that invites bigoted niggas to want to talk to you because they want to bother you. And it doesn't leave people who might be interested in you with much of anything to kind of grasp onto, like to connect over. So really just like, make your profiles, whether they be on dating apps or other websites, indicative of how cool you are. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be hiking Mount Everest or some shit like that. Like, it could just be like you're really into cooking or something like that. Just like, whoever you are, actually be yourself and you'll invite the kinds of people who like you. And those are my tips.
Some good ass tips. I'm like, I was trying to take a mental note of all your tips, but you said them so fucking fast.
Sorry, you're trying to end the show on time. But yeah, you got the show notes, nigga. You got the show notes.
definitely, I feel like Sam hit the nail on the head. I would add, you know, wear lingerie for yourself. Explore different types of porn with yourself or with other people. And, of course, sensual massages. I started massaging myself as I lotion. Ooh. A bitch been lotioning that. But my favorite dating apps are Coffee Meets Bagel and Hinge. Though Coffee Meets Bagel has done good things for myself. And I want to add, a bitch is going on year 3 or year 4 in this journey. And it's just...
Yay. Open. Woo woo.
I have nothing.
Well... In the spirit, that's okay, Rob. In the spirit of the attempted Akua, let's hear from our lead insert erectionist, Akua, in a segment that we like to call "Fuck Me." If you are a independent music producer and you would like your music to be on the Inner Ho Uprising podcast, you can send us line to ihupodcast@gmail.com, and we'll play it for one of. Our segments, one of our illustrious segments. So this segment is called Fuck Me. It's about our sexual, romantic, and or dating lives, and Akua has some things to say.
So I wanted to share a recent experience with you guys, and I'm gonna give the shortened version. So I've been having irregular periods. I've always had irregular periods throughout my life, and realized that in self-reflection, I've only had irregular periods after my pregnancy and while I was on birth control. It wasn't a hormonal birth control. It was a copper IUD, but nonetheless, have had irregular periods probably start dating back till 2018. So I've been having irregular periods in the last 2 years, 2020 and 2019. I've only had 6 whole periods. No birth control or anything, 6 whole periods. So in the beginning of 2021, I was like, I need to get my shit together and go figure out what the fuck is happening and stop sitting here and thinking I have uterine, you know, cancer. So I made the call to see my OBGYN. Now, I haven't, during this visit, I found out that I haven't been to the OBGYN in forever. So I called, scheduled a pap smear. And you know what? My uterus is just like the feds. It was listening because as soon as I hung up the phone, that bitch came. Like, my period came and I was pissed. But nonetheless, I made the appointment to go see my OBGYN and I went. And during that appointment, I found out that my last pap smear was actually in 2011.
Ooh.
We're talking 10 whole years. So I do not advise this. Do as I say and not as I do. But there's many reasons why I haven't been to my OBGYN in so long. Well, my last visit with her was in 2013 for a whole nother reason. But part of the reasons why I haven't been to my OBGYN is that sometimes I don't have medical coverage. There are years where I just don't have medical coverage and that plays into it. And there is discomfort with this specific OBGYN. She's a Black woman, but there is, you know, trauma linked to her from my childbirth experience. Mm-hmm. And what clicked for me during this experience is that I don't like her. So there was some time in 2020, I thought I was going to get a new OBGYN that was a part of the search, or maybe 2019, I was on the search for a new OBGYN. Couldn't find anyone that I like. All my doctors have to be Black women. That was hard. And then the pandemic hit in 2020 and I ain't seeing nobody. So now I'm like, I got to figure this out. I go see her. And there was like, I knew that I went back to her specifically because she has my history, all of my reproductive history since 16, 15, when I started seeing her. And that was part of the reason why I wasn't sure if I wanted to change her or not, because I like having all my medical history in one place. And she has done all of my surgeries and things. So I went, there was a little bit of shame, you know, placed on me for the fact that I hadn't been around, but she also kind of laughed it off and made me, you know, a bit more comfortable. It's like, all right, we'll get one done now. And, you know, you're young and your last one was normal. So, you know, hopefully there isn't anything there. And surprisingly, she did listen to me about my concerns of having PCOS, because that was another reason why I went. But what I realized about my OBGYN is that she is very dismissive. So like when I'm talking about having PCOS or, you know, what's going on with my periods, it's like, are you trying to get pregnant? Are you trying to get pregnant? Are you trying to get pregnant? And I'm like, no, I don't want no kids. And then she'll turn around and say, you're 28. You don't even know what you want. Bitch, I just told you what I want. I don't want no goddamn kids. And they, she had like a nurse intern. She had other like medical interns that she were interning with her, learning the ropes. And you can, they were a lot younger, like my generation. And you could see them cringe as me and her go back. But it was in that moment where I realized this is why I don't come to her, because that used to bother me when I was a lot younger, that she was very dismissive of my wants. And that was what compounded to the drama of my childbirth. And like, I'm having this baby and she's like not communicating or telling me what I want, being very dismissive and paternalistic. So that brought me back. But now I'm a lot older, realized it was just her and was able to let it go and like really go back and forth with her. Like, bitch, I just told you I don't want no goddamn kids. I just want to make sure my uterus is not going to fall out and there's nothing growing in there that shouldn't be. Like, but it also made me realize that she's not really a doctor about reproductive health. She's a baby pusher. She is in the business of delivering babies. So like all her questions center around babies. It's not, hey, you know, have you had it? Yeah, she didn't ask me if I had an STI, you know, or my sexual health practices or my reproductive. Like, she was just like, hey, you trying to have a baby? No, all right, we'll figure out what's going on and how to treat it. You sure you ain't trying to have, like, I'm not trying to have no kids, bitch. Like, I'm not. And I know it. Because I know it, because I said it. There's nothing that's going to change my mind. I actually have a kid, so I really know I don't want no goddamn kids. Like, but even if I didn't have a kid and I said I didn't want to have no kids, I don't want to have no kids. So that was my experience and realizing how, again, like, I don't want to say, I don't know, it's not discrimination, but these attitudes of medical health professionals will drive us away from getting the regular medical help. And there was just some information that I wanted to share from the leading health professionals at Johns Hopkins that says that uterus-owning folks, I'm changing some words. It was very cis woman-centered, so I am making this inclusive of people who own uteruses, vulvas, vaginas, or whatever combination you have. But uterus-owning folks should start having pap smear screenings at age 21. And between the age of 21 and 29, those whose pap smears are normal only need it repeated every 3 years. So I wasn't that bad. I was about 3 pap smears off. All right. folks ages 30 and over who have normal pap smear results and no evidence of HPV can extend the duration between their pap smears even further to every 5 years, but should still have annual or semi-annual gynecological exams. So do that for yourselves, people. Don't be me.
And if it does come back irregular, then your doctor will advise you on how frequently you should be going.
Yes. So yeah, that was my fuck me. That was my experience. I go back to get the results of my pap smear and hopefully figure out what is causing these irregular periods and a way to solve it in about 2 weeks.
Cool. I'm proud of you for taking the reins of your health. Riding that health horsey.
Okay.
I will also share that I have not had a pap smear in a very long time, and I am scheduled for February 26th. So we're on the same page, and we're getting it done, and we're getting it together, okay? And that's it.
Good for you. Good for you guys. What was that Nicki Minaj line? Didn't she say something about papoose and pap smears?
Oh, I don't know.
Ma'am, it's time to go, okay? It is time to go.
When I hear pap smear, I think about that video where the girl's like, how you know this pussy pap ready?
I remember that one, yeah. I mean, any pussy is pap ready. I'd be going up in there, tartan stank boy, let me tell you something.
Oh my God.
Oh shit. I always shave. I don't know why. It's like, she's...
Man, these that. Motherfuckers done seen all the pussies, son.
Look. They see care, STDs.
Whole babies.
Yes, entire babies coming whole out babies that bad boy.
Stretching and coming out.
Active STDs.
You're going to get this pussy in any condition. Any condition, nigga. And my insurance is going to pay you to do it, motherfucker. So shut up.
Post-gym pussy.
That's just disrespectful.
What am I going to do? Go take a shower after the gym so I get my pussy destroyed by this fucking speculum?
Speculum.
Spectacle. It is a spectacle.
Your shit is rocking, Rob. But I'm glad you came in.
My tart and stank pussy.
All right. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate every single last one of you.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inaho Uprising, C-U-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y, and head over to InahoUprising.com to pay a hoe. If you'd like to follow me personally, you can at Instagram, The Darkest Timeline, or Existing Crisis on Twitter.
You can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at Smoking PP on Instagram and the_body on Twitter.
I'm SlamRid on Instagram, Twitter, and Clubhouse. Goodbye, everyone. Have a lovely week because you motherfucking deserve to.
Bye!